of year, we hear the stories of the women at the empty tomb, Thomas, Emmaus. These are accounts of faith, doubt, and new life, themes that mirror the spring season itself. This post-Easter, pre-Pentecost season is so appropriate for church in general, and this church in particular. As we engage in long-range planning, we wait, we doubt, we wonder. That's what church is about. And this season is our time to live into the mysteries of Easter together. And what an odd little pairing of readings we have today. We have an Ethiopian eunuch being baptized. There are so many pitfalls here. Race, class, gender, conversion. But before we get too outside of our comfort zone, we can find respite in our second text. The lectionary today pairs the reading from Acts with beautiful language from 1 John about God's abiding love and how we might love each other in response to God's love for us. Our story this morning begins and ends in mystery, with an angel of the Lord telling Philip to journey on an unkempt side road, and ending with Philip whisked away to another place, just as the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized. An angel and the relocating Spirit of God, these mysterious elements of the story are like little parentheses around the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and they serve to lift the story out of reality a bit. The anthropologist Victor Turner calls this disorienting in-between space liminality. Liminality describes the threshold moment in religious ritual when the participants have let go of their pre-ritual status but have not yet arrived at a new way of structuring their time, identity, or community. It's an in-between thin place where a ritual allows people to let go of their old ways and move into a more fluid reality until a new way of being can be established. For example, in the Bible, when Jacob dreams of a ladder between heaven and earth where he encounters God, that's a liminal place. Or even in a worship service, where we enter one way, and through music and words and sacraments, a part of ourselves is touched by the Spirit, and we go out into the world a little different. That worship space is liminal. Teenagers, refugees, transgender and bisexual people, reporters who find themselves as participant observers, can all be seen as liminal beings because they live in the gray zone of the in-between. And the Ethiopian eunuch is a liminal being as well. His ambiguous identity can be disorienting for us, and I wonder what we can learn from his story. The Ethiopian eunuch's race, class, and gender are all ambiguous. The text tells us he is a eunuch who held a high post in the government of the Queen of Ethiopia. Ancient Ethiopia is most likely what we call Sudan, but in ancient Palestinian culture, anyone who lived south of Egypt was considered Ethiopian. He worked for the Candace, the queen, as her treasurer. The Candaces were very powerful, and so a treasury official in her government would be a pretty important person. He traveled with an entourage and his own chariot, with freedom to journey to Jerusalem. And yet, a eunuch in the court was likely either a servant or a former slave. So we might wonder, is he both wealthy and enslaved? What does that mean for his status or class if he is afforded great resources but may or may not have his freedom? And as for his gender, the Ethiopian eunuch is, well, a eunuch. A eunuch could be a man who is born unable to reproduce, one who chooses not to reproduce, or one whose body has been physically altered so that he can no longer reproduce. Generally speaking, no one would have signed up for this procedure voluntarily, which is why it is likely that he was at one point enslaved. It was common custom in royal courts around the world for leaders to subdue their servants by making them eunuchs. This served a dual purpose of creating a trustworthy servant who would have no lineage competing for his loyalty, while also producing a servant who was seen as dispensable, a throwaway. And where exactly on the spectrum of gender and sexuality might we find a eunuch? He seems to occupy the space of a third gender. His gender is blurry, just like his race and class. The combination of the Ethiopian eunuch's blurred identity and the mysterious frame of the story with an angel and the Spirit of God frees us up to explore the text in all its liminality. It invites us to be in between, foggy, and blurry along with him. This has almost always been read as a conversion text, and sermons and artwork through the centuries have titled this passage "The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch." Traditionally, the Ethiopian eunuch has represented exotic wildness, otherness. He was as non-Jewish as possible. And his conversion has been interpreted to show how inclusive Christianity is, that the Christian ministry is for everyone to all the ends of the earth. It has been preached with the message: go and tell everyone about Jesus, because in doing so, we might save them. We might convert them. We might change them into being us. Unfortunately, this begins with the assumption that there is an us and a them, and that the privileged we can pat ourselves on the back for being so inclusive. There's rather a whiff of arrogance. It presumes that converting someone else to one's own position is the best stance to take. I actually think we can do better than that. It's a stronger position to stand in one's own place and recognize another with dignity and respect without trying to bend them to be the same. We may feel more comfortable when people are the same as us, but we would be wise to be careful not to gloss over the richness of diversity. For example, in the children's book Stella Luna, a young bat is separated from her mother and is adopted by a bird family. The mother bird insists upon Stella Luna following the ways of the birds. One night, when Stella Luna decides to sleep with her feet hooked into the nest, like the fruit bat that she is, and hanging by her feet, the mother bird insists that she get back in the nest this instant. She worries that Stella Luna will be a bad influence on her chicks. After that, Stella Luna eats worms, sleeps in the nest, and behaves like a good little bird. But when she encounters another fruit bat, Stella Luna realizes that she needs to be herself. What's upside down for a bird is right side up for a bat. The ways of bats are different from the ways of birds, and it's okay. She can still be friends with the birds even if she is not one of them. Being one can sometimes leave little room for diversity. And so the challenge is to be fully and authentically oneself without trying to convert, bend, or change someone who is different. The Christian gospel is for everyone, to all the ends of the earth. And it is not we who open our circle to the other. It is God's infinite love that defines the circle of inclusion. Both the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip are open and accepting in their encounter. The Ethiopian eunuch invites Philip to join him in his fancy chariot. He is open to Philip's interpretation of the passage in Isaiah from the point of view of the events of Jesus. He is open to the joy of baptism. And Philip, for his part, says yes to reading scripture with someone who is quite different from himself and who may have been rejected in Jewish worship because of his altered gender. He says yes to baptizing this man, even though the early Christian community was still unsure whether someone could become a Christian without first being Jewish. In some ways, I think the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip convert each other to radical acceptance, the same radical acceptance that Jesus modeled. They are both open to breaking down walls of division in order to draw the circle wider. Rabbi Harold White, who sometimes performs interfaith marriages, says, "The other is not always understandable, but he or she is embraceable." We can be converted to the way of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, converted to accepting and celebrating difference. Our reading from 1 John can support a conversion to difference. 1 John says that love comes from God, and that in order to love God, we have to love others. We cannot love God when we don't show love to others, when we don't love our brothers and sisters in the world. There is no fear in love, the writer of 1 John tells us. There is no fear in reaching out to the homeless and the stranger, the immigrant and the marginalized, the sick and the addicted. The other is not always understandable, but he or she is embraceable. Besides the compelling characters in this story, we have the rich metaphors of the wilderness road itself and the discovery of water in the desert. The wilderness road isn't like Emmaus, which was a road away from the Easter story, as much as it is a precursor to the Damascus Road, a place of encounter. The road and the water represent a path and a sacrament, a journey and holiness. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch find themselves in the joyful position of discovering water in the desert, both literally and figuratively. The Ethiopian eunuch asks, "Why not baptize me right now?" Philip could have given a long, law-filled list of reasons why not, but instead he agrees. With the gospel story on his lips, he takes his cue from the radical welcome of Jesus, and he baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. Their encounter is sacramental, both because they sink into the waters of baptism together and because they are changed by their encounter. I wonder how each of us might need a spiritual path and spiritual refreshment. And I wonder how we as a church can be that revitalizing path with and for each other. As many of you know, our senior minister recently announced his retirement. As we move forward as a congregation, there will be differing opinions as we make choices along the way. We'll need to acknowledge and be open to minority opinions, and we'll also need to find common ground. We may find ourselves disoriented in a liminal space, where we are not the same as we have been up until now, and we have not yet emerged from our journey. We will be in between, and it may be disorienting, ambiguous, and perhaps uncomfortable. But we may follow the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch to convert each other to the wideness of God's mercy, to accept differences and see them as strengths. And we may follow the words of 1 John to go forward in our congregation's transition with love as our guide, that even as we are smart and strategic in aiming for our goals, we might look for new places where our community might live out the love of Christ. We would be wise to work with our own discomfort around change so that we may stretch ourselves as a community. Often the disorienting feelings that come from change in our lives are really just a part of the learning process. The clarity that comes after a well-explored transition can be stunning. And we can emerge even clearer about our identity and our place in the world than before. We find ourselves in the season of spring, exploring those newest newborn church stories of faith and doubt and identity. And as a congregation, we are at the very newest newborn beginning of a transitional time. We are entering a truly liminal, blurry, in-between period, full of mystery, doubt, and new life, just like this post-Easter, pre-Pentecost season. Ours is the journey. May we seek out all the blessings and sacred joy we possibly can, that along the way, we may be transformed and renewed. Amen.